You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. Two hat tricks in four games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge. Yeah, there's a modgepodge. Whole modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Welcome to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental and MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 85 MLS Cup Edition. We are on the ground in Toronto, just next door to the Kia Training Ground. Myself, David Goss, is joined by Sam Stashkel here as we just finished up press conferences, trainings with these two teams. Sam, we're covering everything about these teams. We are living Toronto FC and Seattle Sounders as they get ready for December 9th, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, Unimas, TSN 1, 4, and 5, and TVA Sports, the big one. The rematch, the final, it's all on.
It's the granddaddy of them all, isn't it? I'm excited for this game. Way more excited than I am for typical MLS Cups of many reasons. But because I think this could be the biggest MLS Cup in league history. I'll just start from there and we'll work our way down.
Boom.
But you have two of the model clubs in the league, Toronto and Seattle. They both spend a ton of money. Toronto spends more money. Seattle still spends a lot. You have two excellent front offices. You have two excellent coaching staffs. Most importantly, you have two excellent rosters full of excellent players. It's excellent.
It's the word of the day.
But so much star power on the field. BMO is going to be rocking on Saturday. Toronto, you know, they haven't won a ton of championships here in their sporting history, not just Toronto FC, who have obviously never won MLS Cup. But, you know, you look at the Leafs, they haven't won it forever. The Blue Jays did twice, but that was 25 years ago now. The Raptors have never won. So this city's hungry for it. The city's passionate about it, much more passionate than comparatively sized cities in the States would be. I think that's something to note. And just everything going on, these teams are better than they were last year.
Let's start there.
A lot better.
Let's talk about that. It's the rematch.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. Victor Vasquez on one side.
Right.
On the other side, Lear Dam has been a good addition. Clint Dempsey, have you heard of that guy?
A few times.
He's back now. He plays for the Seattle Sounders again. He wasn't last year.
Wow.
Now he's back in the team. You've got Jovan Jones moved up the field.
Yep.
Knew who can get some space.
Gustav Svensson, incredible signing.
Will Bruin up top.
Will Bruin. Who knew?
Which team has improved more since last year?
Seattle. I don't think that's much in doubt. Toronto have basically the same roster, but mostly the same roster. They're better than they were last year. They've come together better. They've played better. They have maybe a little bit more solid of an identity than they did last year, which really helps. But in terms of year over year, it sounds weird because Toronto improved points-wise way more than the Sounders
and
did.
Because I think Toronto did most things well in aspects of the game.
Yeah.
Except a guy who, when the game shut down, could make that final pass.
And to be clear, this isn't a reflection of what Toronto have done this year. This is more a reflection of their starting points from the offseason. You know, Seattle had a lot more room to grow, in my opinion, than Toronto did. And I think this Seattle team is one where we're not going to hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, hopefully I'm not jinxing this right now, but hopefully they're going to come out and play because they have the talent to do so. And last year, yeah, they had more talent than maybe they showed in MLS Cup. But last year, I mean, I think they were a little more overmatched, just player for player-wise than they are this year. And I think this year they'll be able to come out and play, and we should see I'm expecting an amazing game, but I'm a little caught up in the moment too.
I think what I wonder is, why does Brian Spencer have to open this game up?
Well, they're not going to. They've said that. You know, but like if Toronto score, then that changes the dynamic, right?
Yeah.
So then they have to go chasing. And Greg Vanney talked about this today too. You know, it's a final. The early stages of every final ever are the teams feeling each other out, right? They're both going to be pretty conservative. They're not going to risk too much. They're not going to want to give up a goal. The longer that goes, you know, like the more we'll see Toronto start to push.
Yeah.
Maybe the more we'll see Seattle start to push. But it's all about finding that balance, right? And in a final, it's really, really heightened. No one wants to make the mistake that loses their team the league. No one. And so that kind of plays in everyone's mind a little bit. That said, I think we're going to see a more open game. It's not going to be wide open. Finals rarely are. You know, so but I think it's still going to be a little cagey, and hopefully we'll get an early goal and it'll open things up, and maybe we'll have a track meet. I don't expect that, but that'd be cool.
The star power that's going to shine on the field,
Clint Dempsey's back.
Yeah.
He's probably the biggest star in Seattle, and he didn't even play in the final last year. Lodero's still here. Jordan Morris now starting to get healthy.
Yeah.
On the flip side, of course, we know all the big names for Toronto. And then you add in the quote-unquote side names to that. Drew Moore, a guy who's already won MLS Cup. Marco Delgado, a young American player.
Justin Morrow, a best 11 pick.
Yeah.
That's what makes these teams so much better than everybody else. It's not the stars. It doesn't take a genius to be like, okay, oh, Sebastian Giovinco, guess what? He's going to be a good player in MLS. Like, oh, yeah, no duh. I could tell you that. You could tell you that. My mom could tell you that. Like, well, maybe not. She doesn't know anything. But sorry, Mom. What makes these teams so much better is those guys. It's guys 6 through 11. It's guys 11 through 18. They're so good. You know, Justin Morrow's making the best 11. And, yeah. And would you put him in the top four players on the team?
No.
Right, exactly. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And on Seattle side, we've mentioned these guys already, but Svensson's been so huge for them this year. Roldan, Ozzie Alonso when he's healthy, Marshall, Roman Torres. Like, every position on the field for both teams has a quality player in it. Every single one. You can't find a hole on these rosters. So I think that's going to make for an awesome game, and that's what makes these teams so much better than even the other rich teams in MLS.
Give me an injury update. It seems like Ozzie Alonso, no go.
I did not get a chance to speak to Ozzie.
So I will tell you that. Ozzie Alonso will not play in MLS Cup.
Did he say that?
Yes. Brian Schmetzer and him both said that.
Wow.
Made the trip because he's a veteran part of this
team.
Sure.
Breaking news.
He was always questionable. We'll be less breaking when this comes out. but he won't be playing. Jordan Morris, you talked to him about being 90 minutes fit.
He's not going to start. I mean, that would be a huge surprise, right? But he'll be an option off the bench just like he was in Houston. He's healthy now. He's ready to go. He hasn't played a full 90 in over 2 months. So, like, you know, it's just does he have the legs to do that? No, probably not. So he's not going to be in the starting lineup. And, oh, by the way, they're playing pretty well without him.
Yep.
So, like, I don't think that's a huge loss, to be totally honest.
Then Jozy Altidore, it sounds like he's going to start.
Jozy gave some classic answers today in the press conference. I think he said it was a 20-minute press conference. He was one of three people up there. I think he said 12 words.
Yeah.
First question was, Jozy, how's the ankle? Are you going to play? He said, yeah, I'll play. And then later on, somebody asked him how much pain he was experiencing and how it was feeling, and he said, it doesn't matter. He's going to play. He's going to start. And if he doesn't, that would be a huge shock. We'll just see how effective he is, especially going against guys like Torres and Marshall, who could beat you up a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder how much his role will be just occupying space with them and occupying their attention to let Giovinco and Vasquez find gaps.
I think that'll play a big role because even a hobbled Altidore can do that better than Tosin Ricketts.
And he said, I mean, he was great with me yesterday when we sat down one-on-one. And
little name drop there.
Oh, well, we're already talking
about
Goss
got, Goss got the big one-on-one with Jozy.
I don't think it counts as a name
drop. Big time.
Also, Jozy, fluent in Spanish. Still on point. Hasn't lived in Spain for a number of years. Yeah.
Was that? Yeah.
That was
not
what anyone called
it. Yeah.
That was a Sam Stajskal thing. You have your own problems.
You can't win them all.
No. But he was open, and he was interesting. What he said is, in his mind, this game wasn't the be-all, end-all. He said, when I signed up, it was a 5-6 year project. This is year three. We've gotten better every year, but this game doesn't define what this club is. And I understand that, but if they lose back-to-back years at home to Seattle after the seasons they've had, it's going to be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's going to be heartbreaking, but he's right that it won't define them. They'll have an opportunity to do it again, even if they lose. Have you ever heard of a guy named LeBron James?
He's the baseball player
in Seattle. Yeah, the baseball player in Seattle. Exactly. I mean, you remember he lost his first, four finals, right?
Yeah.
He's done pretty well since then, and the narrative has kind of flipped on him. I'm not saying Jozy and Michael Bradley are LeBron James, but it's a similar sort of situation, right? I mean, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here because they might win and it might not be a thing at all. But, if they lose on Saturday again for the second year in a row, obviously that'll be heartbreaking. And there's no guarantee they'll ever be back again. If I was going to make a bet on it, I would say they would be back again. Just because the quality of the roster and everything they do here in Toronto.
And for TFC fans, Giovinco also, when I asked him, first answer was, I come back next year.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the more you make a final, the better your chances are that you're going to eventually win one. So people are going to want to make this a legacy game. I don't buy into it. The only way it's a legacy game is if they never make a final again. And then their legacy is going to be tainted by never making a final again. So, you know, it's I don't think this makes or breaks their Toronto tenure, but it would make them feel a lot better if they got one.
If they win, are they the greatest team ever?
You know, I'm going to be totally honest. I don't know enough about those early MLS teams. you and I were both pretty young and back in those days. I'm not, you know, Matt Doyle, all due respect, like, you know.
He has, like 50.
He has the memory to go back and into that one. I would say they're the greatest MLS team of the Beckham
generation?
Era. How about that? Okay. The post-Beckham era.
You don't want to just make yourself the ACBC?
No, I'm not going to equate myself to the C in that equation. but, no, so I would say of the post-Beckham era, which is when you've really started to see the talent
2007?
Rise. The money rise. Yeah. I would say, yeah, I think they have to be. Only team that win a treble if they do it. Points record in the regular season. MLS Cup title. Talent everywhere on the field. Yeah, I think they're the best team
on the flip side, in
the post-Beckham era if they do it.
On the flip side, if Seattle goes to back-to-back years to Toronto and wins MLS Cup, I mean, what's the legacy for this team?
For this team?
For this squad?
Well, it's not finished, first of all, right? Like, just like we just talked about with Toronto, they're back next year, too. And they'll probably improve again. You know, all this new TAM money coming in? Potentially. That's going to change the face of both of these teams and every other team in the league if they do it right. They're going to have better players in different spots. And so they're going to get better and better, too. If they went back-to-back, I think they... It's a remarkable story. I don't think you can call Seattle the best team in MLS history. I wouldn't put the Seattle team ahead of the 2011-2012 Galaxy, who repeated. You know, they've obviously had their struggles the last two regular seasons. But I think it's an amazing accomplishment. And I think it kind of I think it speaks to Brian Schmetzer, if they're able to do it, to be totally honest. You know, I mean, he's not doing anything revolutionary tactically or anything like that. He doesn't have to. And it's a skill in knowing that. And finding the best system and sticking with it and creating that identity. And they're flexible, too. So they're able to do a few different things. But I think it's a testament to him and how he's gotten this locker room to buy in and how he's gotten this locker room to be themselves and how he's gotten this locker room into a really positive place after when he took over when it was nowhere near positive. So I think it'd be a testament to him and obviously the players as well.
You mentioned the 2011-2012 Galaxy. What Seattle will do in the finals is much tougher than what they had to do.
Absolutely.
Two on the road in Toronto against
it's a much better
this
team.
Toronto
yeah,
team.
As opposed to the Dynamo. All due respect, you know, they're not this Toronto team. Like, yeah. I bet they spent $4 million on that roster. Toronto are spending $22. You know, like, it. You know, it's, I don't need to explain that to anybody.
When you talk about model clubs, you talk about the money they spent? Is that it? Is that
no. And I will have a piece on this probably tomorrow morning, hopefully dropping later tonight, ideally, but, you know, we'll see how that goes, see how fast I can write it. But, no, so obviously Toronto and Seattle have a huge advantage on the majority of the teams in the league and the amount that they can spend. That said, they're not the only teams that spend big, and they're not the only teams that can. So if you want to take that group, okay, just look at the top six teams in payroll this year. You got Toronto number one, NYCFC number two. I believe L.A. number three, Chicago four, Orlando is five or was five, and Seattle was six.
Atlanta's not in there?
Well, if you count transfer fees, Atlanta's probably at the top of that. But their actual payroll, I think, was seventh. At any rate, Seattle and Toronto, they're better than all those clubs. So how do they do it, right? Well, their executives are probably a little bit better. They've had more time than Atlanta, right, who are building from scratch. They've had more time than NYCFC, who are somewhat building from scratch, although 3 years in, tougher to make that argument. Yeah. But the thing that makes them really good, I think, is the ability of their front offices and coaching staffs to understand how to get the last drop out of every dime they spend. It's not just about spending money. It's about being smart about how you spend money so you can have those guys like Justin Morrow or Gustav Svensson or Marky Delgado or Will Brun who you get on reasonable contracts for no transfer fees or a cheap trade amount, and you can have them come in and be better. Because like I was saying earlier, it doesn't take a genius to know Clint Dempsey or Sebastian Giovinco is going to be good. You know, it takes a smart person with some skills and some tools and some resources. It's key here. Shouldn't get lost to be able to get those guys. And those guys are what makes these teams better than their wealthy counterparts.
So you're out here, you're talking to these teams, you're talking to these players. What's your biggest vibe off at least the teams of what they're looking for from
sure.
this final?
I mean, I think everyone, a lot of the players are hoping for a more open game.
Especially on Toronto side.
Yeah. Drew Morris talked about that a lot, actually, which is weird because he's a center back. He's like, yeah, I want it to be an open game. I want there to be some goals. And I keep waiting for him to say, I want there to be some goals, but just for us. And he hasn't said that yet. So watch out, Seattle. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, so they want it to be a more open game. I mean, I think We got a little bit of the Mutual Admiration Society going on here this week. No one's saying anything controversial, certainly. But I think there is a lot of respect between these teams and these clubs because they know that they're better.
And they also, there was the inevitability, I think, for some of them, of this was how it was going to end.
Yeah, and Toronto wanted this.
Yeah.
They wanted Seattle
Although
again.
They've denied it.
No, it's not in a revenge way. But Michael Bradley said it today. Someone asked him about revenge. And he says, you know, I don't really like think of it as a revenge way, but I'm excited to play Seattle. And that's the vibe, right? It's not like, oh, we're out for bad blood or whatever. Like, no, last year's game wasn't really dirty or anything like that. They're excited not only to play the team that beat them, but to play one of the few teams, I think, that they consider their peer.
Michael Bradley, very interesting guy to hear about. In terms of out there on the field, there's not going to be an Ozzie Alonso. Bradley's going to have to try and control that midfield. What matchups are you looking at?
Yeah, so looking at a few matchups, Bradley Dempsey, Bradley Ladero jumps off the page, obviously. Both of those guys roam around in the attack, right? So Bradley's not going to be on him all the time. Every Toronto defender is going to have to do a job on him. But where they're most dangerous, where Dempsey in particular, in my opinion, is most dangerous, is in those little pockets of space right near the edge of the 18 when he's in between the center backs and the defensive midfielder. And he can receive the ball, play a flick through, or maybe turn and put a shot on goal. He's excellent at that. So good at it in tight spaces. So Bradley's going to – that's Bradley's spot. Andrew Moore. But both of them, mostly Bradley, are going to have to really make sure that Clint isn't getting any time or space on those and shutting him down. And more importantly, trying to deny those passes in the first place so he doesn't even get the ball in those situations. From Seattle's perspective, Clint's going to have to do a job on him defensively. Watch for Will Bruin on that too. One thing that was interesting to me from media availability on Wednesday night was Brian Schmetzer. Someone asked him, what's been the key to your shutout streak? And he, you know, you expect a coach to kind of say, like, team defending, you know, my center backs are doing a great job, defensive midfielders, wing backs, whatever. You know, that's kind of the answer you're expecting. And he says, oh, well, you know, I'd really like to tell this story. And he's like, Will Bruin. And you're like, what, the striker? Like, that's where he's going with this? Okay. And so he talks about how Will Bruin's doing a job defensively, really running hard and putting pressure on the opposing teams. Not necessarily stealing the ball or denying a pass or anything like that, but giving his teammates time to set up their shape behind him. So expect Will Bruin to do a lot of that to Bradley. He's going to run right at him. He's going to get in his face. We know Will Bruin isn't afraid to do those sorts of things. He's going to get in his face. He's going to try and bother him best he can. Dempsey's going to have to do that a little bit as well. He's probably not going to be running as hard as Will Bruin. I think that's fair to say. Lodero's going to be doing a little bit of that as well, depending on where he lines up. I think that's interesting. I think the left flank for the Sounders, Greg Vanney told us.
Active flank is what they called it.
The
right?
Active flank. How about we call it action flank?
Action flank. There you go.
There we go.
You're already branding people. Action
flank. Anyway, the Sounders use their left flank a lot. Greg Vanney told us they use it more than any team uses any one side in the league. That's Jovan Jones. That's Nuhu. That's Lodero. Maybe it's Harry Shipp. Dempsey pops out there too, plenty. So how Toronto kind of counteract that with likely Steven Betisher, probably fair to say. Maybe it's Marky Delgado or Jonathan Osorio on that side, along with Bradley and one of the three center backs. How they counteract that. And then on the other side, how Seattle are able to deal with Justin Morrow. Because one of the things that I heard, and I can't even remember who said it, we've done so many damn interviews this week, but one of the things that I heard from Seattle's perspective is, you know, Morrow is interesting and tough to defend against because he's late arriving. He's coming in that box late, and you're already dealing with Giovinco and Altidore and Delgado and Bradley and Vasquez and all these guys in the box. And then all of a sudden, Justin Morrow comes streaking in, and it's like, oh, crap, who's going to account for that guy? And then you have a left back with 8 goals. Like,
and
you know,
he's almost like a wide receiver in that he always comes infield, and he turns the defender infield.
Yeah, running a post.
Then,
yeah.
And then you allow him to get the ball going in towards the goal because now you're slanting him in.
So Jovan Jones on Seattle's side, Justin Morrow on Toronto's side, that's going to be really interesting. And then, you know, without Alonso, what Seattle do against Victor Vasquez and Giovinco in those same pockets of spaces that Dempsey's going
to
be operating.
You expect Svensson to step in for Ozzie?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what they've been playing. That allows them to kind of keep things the same. We could see Lodero in there, but I would expect Svensson and then Rodriguez to get the start along with Dempsey and Lodero behind Bruin as opposed to sliding Lodero into the central mid and starting Harry Shipp. up top, because I don't think you want to take Svensson off in a game like this. I mean, this dude was just in the World Cup playoff against Italy. He knows how to play in big games. And he's one of the most underrated signings of the season for me, in my opinion.
Big fan.
Big fan of Gustav.
Not
Svensson.
As big a fan of you are as Victor Rodriguez, but you're a big fan
of
Gustav.
No, I'm a bigger
Svensson.
Fan of Gustav Svensson. Yeah? Although I do think Victor Rodriguez is a good player, which you don't.
I do think he's a good player.
Who doesn't? It's Ben Bear, that maniac.
I just wouldn't start my list.
Lunatic Bear, isn't it?
I wouldn't start my list of Seattle's a better team than last year because and start with Victor Rodriguez.
Who would you start with?
Kevin Lyrdam. Oh, Clint Dempsey.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that he
yeah,
was
yeah.
technically
yeah,
on
yeah.
the team.
Yeah, yeah. We know what you mean.
I would start with Lyrdam. I think he's helped solidify that.
Another
defense.
Underrated signing. So underrated, yeah. I forgot about him for a minute.
This is why you're an expert. This is why I bring you on, Sam.
Yeah.
This is what I appreciate.
Something like that. Yeah. Honesty.
I think he's brought balance to that team. I think he gives them width.
No, really good.
He's
really
a good player.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of work to do with Justin Morrow in this one, which should be interesting. It should be a good test. When you look at how this thing's going to play out, when you look at this game, prediction?
Prediction. Man, I haven't really thought about a prediction. Nothing would surprise me. I'll say that off the jump. I think, oh, God, my head is saying Toronto, but my heart is saying Seattle. I think it's going to, like, I don't know why. I just think something's going to happen. This feels like Seattle are gonna just have their number, and Toronto are going to be sad again, and we're going to have a lot of content to create about Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore, and then they can be LeBron James later.
I, in my mind, can't picture a scenario that Toronto loses this game again. But Seattle
you can't.
But Seattle.
You gotta work on your imagination, man.
Just to lose 2 years in a row to the same team at home with the quality of team they have. But I thought there was a pretty decent chance they were going to win last year, and they didn't. And Seattle's walked in here with swagger. And they walked in here.
They're
like,
confident, man.
We know exactly how this goes. We know where we are.
Yeah.
We know we're doing the interviews here. We're going to BMO. We're going to break someone's heart, and then we go home.
The pressure isn't on the Sounders.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that Toronto are going to be overwhelmed by the pressure, because I don't think they are. I think they're a veteran group that's done a good job of handling it. And I don't think they're really concerned about it.
They look comfortable as well.
They do.
They both do.
There's something about the Sounders that, like you said, they got that swagger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, predictions are hard, and I'm going to sound like an idiot, but I'll pick the Sounders to win.
If the Sounders win, let's do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
What will be the reason? What will be the quote-unquote X factor? What will have happened?
I want to say Clint Dempsey. He's playing really well right now. And, I mean, we all know all about Clint Dempsey and the chip on that guy's shoulder and the motivation and the fire and the intensity that he plays with. And make no mistake, I'm not going to say he's mad that he missed MLS Cup last year, but he's definitely motivated by it. He feels like he has something to prove. And a Clint Dempsey that feels like he has something to prove is a dangerous man.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Of course, watch Jordan Morris come in and be Mr. Clutch.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's going to be the subs. And one, you've got the extra sub. If it goes to extra time.
Potentially, yeah.
If it goes to extra time, you've got a fourth sub. I wrote a little bit about it, but I think that Greg Vanney has been more proactive this year. And last year in the final, I think he struggled to change what Seattle was doing and force the game to shift. One of that was because he didn't have as many weapons off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And two was he had to worry that if this game now goes into an extra 30 minutes in this cold, I need fresh legs.
Sure. So what do you think about that, though, in context of what happened in leg two against Columbus?
I thought that Delgado move was a proactive move. I thought it was an aggressive move. I don't know that he's going to start Osorio again. I think he's going to start Delgado in this one.
I think so, too.
I think there's a chance you might start Hassler, but it's probably going to be Betashore at right back. But I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a move 60th minute earlier if it's a 0-0 game.
And he's certainly got the options to do so.
He's got weapons. He's got dangerous pieces. You talk about Jordan Morris off the bench as well.
Or, I mean, we talk about Mr. Clutch. Roman Torres, man.
Yeah.
Why not be another – I mean, all that guy does is heroic things. He's got that giant hair and giant smile, and he's funny and dances.
And
he scores late goals to win championships.
Josie about him, he laughed.
Really?
He said, I've known Roman for years. I've played against him in CONCACAF for such a long time, and he's big, he moves well, he's so tough to play against. And I think Chad Marshall, in his time, I asked Drew Moore, Chad Marshall,
Everyone's talking about Chad Marshall. Not even his own team.
That's
like, you got Schmetzer talking about, he's like, yeah, Roman's going to have to do a job on Josie and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, and Chad will help too. Like, that's literally, I mean, like, you kind of feel bad for the guy, but, like, I take it he doesn't mind the lack
of
attention.
Well, I asked Drew Moore, I said, could you say he's one of the best center backs in MLS history? He said, since he's come in the league, he's been at every point, at
every
time.
Since Drew or since Chad?
Since Chad has. Okay. He's been one of the best center backs in the, the league.
Chad Marshall, Defender of the Year Award, right?
Yeah. And he continues to do it, and he continues to get it done. It's going to be a fun one. BMO's going to be jumping. Oh, Canada is going to be great.
Oh, man, what a good national anthem. As someone who has Canadian ancestry, I will, you know, hum along loud and proud.
Now, do you think that if, let's say, Houston was playing Columbus, you'd still be talking about your Canadian ancestry every
time
you come on this podcast?
Of course.
That's your go-to
Well,
move?
No. I mean, of course not. There wouldn't be a Canadian team involved. It would be very off-topic.
No, there would not be. This can be a big moment for Canadian soccer, for the city of Toronto, for, of course, Toronto FC, or the Seattle Sounders. What?
One more quick note here.
You don't have to whisper. It's a podcast.
Well, I mean, I didn't know. It sounded like you were wrapping up.
I was.
Listen, the listeners agree. I want to make one more point here.
Interesting.
This, and I just talked to Toronto president Bill Manning, who, full disclosure, used to be my boss's boss when I worked for Real Salt Lake.
We're here for RSL.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, one of the things that he mentioned to me was that he thinks that this is sort of not this final, but this year's final and last year's final, the seasons that Toronto and Seattle have had, it could sort of start to mark a paradigm shift in MLS, where you could start to see more separation of the top teams. You could see a little less parity. And he thinks that's a good thing. I happen to agree. But I think that's something to kind of keep in mind here. You know, you look back 7 years, BMO Field 2010 MLS Cup, Drew Moore, and I think he was on Colorado at the time. Mm-hmm. Drew Moore and the Colorado Rapids beat FC Dallas in MLS Cup in front of like 8,000 people.
On
like,
an own goal.
On an own goal created by
Mac Congee.
Created by Mac Congee, who tore his ACL on the play, I believe.
Yep.
Poor guy. But that was just that moment. I remember watching and being like, I was covering MLS. I'd recently started, and I was watching with a friend. And I was like embarrassed to be covering the league. I was like, this is kind of sad for the championship game. Like, there's no one there. The teams aren't really that interesting. There's no star power. And we look 7 years later, there's going to be there's going to be like four times as many people at BMO. The place is going to be jumping. The spend on the teams is so much more. The talent in each position is, I mean, it's a different world. And it's 7 years ago. And that's kind of blowing my mind. And I think that kind of plays into Manning's point that, you know, okay, this is kind of a historical line of demarcation where this could be the moment or the start of a new era, maybe, in MLS.
How many MLS Cups have you been to?
This is just my second, actually. My first as a reporter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the thing that you've noticed the most that stood out to you?
I mean,
obviously,
I've been working like all day, every day, so it's kind of hard to say.
Here's the thing.
But,
I
want to go around Toronto because everyone's telling me that the city is really behind this team, and yeah. I've been in hotels and a weird indoor soccer center where there's a press conference.
Well, let me tell you this. Every player is going to tell you business as usual, but these players are in early for training, and they don't leave after this media stuff till late. This is a tough week for the Michael Bradleys, for the Drew Moores, for the Jersey Altidores, for the Clint Dempseys,
for the Seattle Bruins. Players who got off a charter plane after doing media in Seattle did more media before they could go get dinner last night at 10:30 p.m. So
it's
a demanding week. Tomorrow is a little bit lighter for them, thankfully, for their perspective.
And then Saturday, it's all going to get started 4 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN, Unimas, TSN 1, 4, and 5 up in Canada, and TVA Sports. I got to give one last shout out to Justin Morrow. It was really cold outside, and he drove me from one building to another. So
wow,
I didn't have to walk.
Justin Morrow.
Justin Morrow, man, the X Factor.
Does he have a nice car?
Well, I'm not going to go into that. He has
no,
the best
so no.
car that I've ever
so
seen.
So no, then. Okay.
It's the best car I've
all
ever
right,
seen.
Cool. Justin Morrow drives a Yugo.
It actually was a pedal car.
Best 11.
It was a pedal car. Thanks so much for listening. And now we're going to go back to New York. Andrew Wiebe and Matt Doyle have you all set for the rest of your Extra Time Radio. So don't go anywhere. And, of course, enjoy the game as well. For Sam and myself, thanks so much for listening.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Drifting away like a feather in air, letting my words take me away from the hurt and despair. So I'm keeping it vertical forever.
Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. Hanging out in the green room in New York City, Andrew Wiebe, Matt Doyle, burning the midnight oil. Doyle, welcome. Mm-hmm. You're here. It's always good to be face-to-face. But did you hear the way Dave threw it to us?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he told that Morrow story, and you could just kind of feel his heartbeat getting faster, and he's getting a little bit flush. And then he gets to throw it to us, and it's like we're the radio equivalent of chopped liver.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah, back to New York.
It's really a little hurtful, especially because we're both talent. You know, and he's aspiring to be like us. But at the same time,
the pettiness is just seeping through the airwaves.
With Gas Man, like, New Yorkers are supposed to be so jaded about celebrity, but he is the most fawning, celebrity crush having little guy I have ever seen. Just give him a little hint, a little taste of stardom, and he's just all over himself.
Yeah, that's one way of analyzing that. We're going to get into the tactics of the big game. MLS Cup, of course, going down on Saturday. You can probably recite this in your sleep by now. 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, Unimas, TSN, TVA Sports. Repeat after me. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. You know it at this point. Of course, MLS Cup Central is why we're hanging back in the big city. Also, I have like a crying, pooping child that I have to take care of all the time.
I have heard a lot of stories about your
child's poop.
I know.
I've been told that I am the cliche dad, and I can't deny that. Like, I don't know what else you're supposed to talk about after you have one.
You got some really good parenting advice from Tim Melia, it seemed. So, you know, that's the guy, right? All-State Good Hands Award. So.
Exactly. Dio Valeri's raising a beautiful young lady who's very, very smart and respectful. Connie, we hear about her all the time. He is a legend as well. He's the MVP. MLS Cup Central rolls on Friday and Saturday. Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Eichel Parr, the defender of the year, and Dax McCarty, a guy who didn't win any awards but we really like, are here to talk soccer with us. And then the pregame show at 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. So that gets your game coverage started. We'll be back in the postgame to break everything down. Should be a ton of fun. We're going to get the mailbag in just a second. We've got some good stuff, including some non-MLS Cup hashtag content for you. Let's dive into the tactics here, Doyle. What are you watching? What are you thinking about? What are we going to see on the field on Saturday?
Well, I'm thinking more about Toronto than Seattle because Seattle's pretty cut and paste. Brian Schmetzer is not a tinker. He doesn't, you know, throw out a 3-5-2 or a 5-4-1 or even a 4-4-2.
He's got his lessons plans made, is what you're saying. He's sticking to them over the course of week to week.
It's a 4-2-3-1, no matter who's available, no matter who's not available. And for this game, he's got pretty much everyone available. Maybe not Ozzy Alonso, but it doesn't matter. Just plug Gustav Svensson in. And when he makes changes, they're pretty linear. Now, some of those guys might be a little more attacking, like you put Victor Rodriguez in at left wing instead of Jovan Jones, shove Jovan Jones back to fullback, suddenly you have a more attacking setup. But it's always the 4-2-3-1, whereas with Toronto, over the last month and a half, because of sort of their own proclivities and because other teams have been throwing stuff at them, they have had
because they had to, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. But they've had to go out of that 3-5-2, and, you know, the good example would be the Red Bulls, right? Mm-hmm. The Red Bulls threw that diamond at him, which they had to do, which you're right, it's a desperation move. But it worked. I mean, the Red Bulls won that game 1-0 at BMO Field, and they totally took Toronto out of their comfort zone.
And the key was taking Michael Bradley out of his comfort zone. Yeah. And people like to rag on Michael, and I'm sure you at home are thinking, oh, Andrew, Michael Bradley apologist. Every time this comes up, you're talking about how he's in the best 11 and he gets a bad rap. I'm still fine with you booing him, by the way, because they failed in Trinidad and Tobago. They failed in that qualifying cycle. It will live with them forever. But if you can make him uncomfortable, all of a sudden you prevent Toronto FC from putting their best players in their best positions. And that really is the key in a game like this.
Yeah.
From the Clint Dempseys of the world to the Nico Ladeiros to the Michael Bradleys to Jozy Altidore's, Victor Vasquez's, Sebastian Giovinco's. It's all about making people uncomfortable.
It is. And make it a little bit more difficult on them. And Toronto, for whatever reason, have not come up with a plan B when they're in that 3-5-2 for having a sort of a primary distribution channel. It might be because Marky Delgado's been struggling a little bit over the past month. He's not the same player he was during the summer, and like Armando Cooper and Jonathan Osorio don't really have that skill set. They don't spread the game out, and Toronto really relies upon Bradley to do that. So I'm focused on that. I'm, you know, wondering if maybe Brian Schmetzer will do something a little bit different, push Christian Roldan up, and, you know, they have the personnel to sort of mimic that diamond that the Red Bulls use with Tyler Adams as a sort of a number 10 slash destroyer.
Right.
And Roldan could do that job. But it's so not Schmetzer's style to deviate. And that would worry me a little bit if I was a Sounders fan, because like the last thing you want to do is let Toronto get a rhythm with those buildups, because when they get that rhythm, that's when they start just generating attack after attack after attack. And then, you know, confidence flows to the guys up top, and when confidence flows to them, goals flow into your damn net.
Yep, that is what happens. Like, as you talk about this, I'm kind of reflecting on these last 2 years and on what the decisions that Greg Vanney was forced to make in different situations. And I think each year he has late in the season made a tactical change, both because he can, he has the personnel that can do it, and because he was forced to in some way. Last year it was going to that 3-5-2, and we're like, oh, great change late on. That changed your season in a lot of ways. And this year it's going back to a four-man back line at times because people had figured him out. What does that say to you about Toronto FC, the team, and is about the league and about the way that they're being scouted over the course of a season?
Well, I mean, to Toronto FC, the team, it says – these changes have largely been effective. So it says that Vanney's a good coach who gets his team prepared, but they also have a ton of depth. You know, they could take off a center back and add another midfielder, go to a 4-4-2. And, I mean, we saw it against Columbus, and they became like this lockdown kind of boilerplate, but like very useful team. And there aren't a ton of teams in the league who can be sort of pushed out of their default formation and show up in something else and be pretty effective. That said, it does tell you that, I mean, teams have scouted the hell out of Toronto.
Yeah.
They have scouted the hell. They know exactly how, you know, Toronto's going to prefer to build up. They know exactly, you know, where the danger comes from in terms of off-the-ball penetration. And, like, you know this. There's a difference between knowing it and knowing how to stop
it. Agreed.
But more and more teams are look at least a little bit like they know how to stop it.
If Josie Altidore is not 100%, I know the guys covered that in Segwa, and Sam Stachel did a great job there. Also, love the Ugo reference. If he's not 100%, what does that change for the guys around him?
I mean, that goal.
But, by the way, I went like Zapruder film on all the footage that were coming out of Toronto, all the practice footage. I'm sure everybody else is doing that. And like Betasher is popping off about Cass. I'm like, well, there's no Cass there. Doesn't even look like they wrap this thing up, or they're being real tricky about it. Maybe he'll pull a Kai Kamara and just like fall to the turf on Friday afternoon and screaming, I can't play, I can't play. No way I'll be in this game. If he's not 100%, what changes, what can then Seattle exploit?
You lose hold of play. And you lose the ability to combine in and around the box. Like, basically, you lose that goal that he scored against Columbus, because Tosin Ricketts isn't doing that. But Tosin Ricketts will hit that gap between the two center forwards time and time again with his speed. And that's something that, I mean, look, Seattle's, they've been shutting the teams out for, I think, 11 straight hours now in the playoffs, and they haven't, you know, they're like, two losses since July. They're a really good defensive team. But they haven't faced a lot of teams that can use the ball in the middle to then spring runners up top. And if Tosin Ricketts is in there for Josie Altidore, whether it's from the start or as a sub, because I doubt Josie will be able to go 90, it's a different kind of proposition to make sure that when you're keeping the ball in front of you, you're not letting him get behind you. Because Josie doesn't really make those runs, especially in transition. Tosin Ricketts does. And Tosin Ricketts' problem is that he doesn't often finish those. But it's something that it's a different way of approaching things that Toronto have the luxury of putting out there. Whether that's enough to make a difference, again, I think, I mean, Seattle's given up 12 goals in 5 months. That's pretty good. You know, so whether Tosin Ricketts or Josie Altidore at full health, or even Sebastian Giovinco going supernova, whether that's enough against this team remains to be seen.
All right, we got to get predictions here. Those two Yahoos gave theirs. We'll get to the mailbag in just a second. We got some good stuff in there, including some fan predictions. Stachel says his heart says Seattle. I wouldn't trust Sam Stachel's heart in any sort of.
I don't think
he
even has one.
That's true. David Goss, like, waffled. Mm-hmm. Couldn't come to any conclusion.
Typical.
At first he was like, Toronto, I can't see them losing. Then Sam basically talked him into going Seattle. So I think that's like he can't predict. He doesn't get any credit for anything on that one. Who do you have here? Who do you think is going to win this one?
It feels like Seattle's momentum is overwhelming.
It does.
You know? And of course, last year, remember, Seattle kind of like struggled through the playoffs, and obviously they didn't play great in the game, whereas Toronto had the overwhelming momentum. But man, when Torres and Marshall are healthy and together, they haven't lost since March. And not losing is a good way to win a game.
That is.
So I'm going Seattle.
Yeah, I would agree. I also think Toronto, and we mentioned this on the show, you pointed it out, and it's easy to forget this because you're like, oh, yeah, Sebastian Giovinco, oh, Jozy Altidore, oh, Victor Vasquez. Yeah, from the spot, these guys are automatic. Eh-eh.
No.
If it gets to that point, they haven't been great this year, and that is an Achilles heel in these finals that can rear up and show its ugly head. And we saw it last year. Bradley with a bad PK, Justin Morrow unlucky, banging the post. Roman Torres playing the hero, which is like the theme of his last 12 months. Congratulations to him.
Unless I just feel US like national team
yeah,
fan.
I feel like it's like it's his year, and nothing's going to take that away from him. Look, I'm going to have to go Seattle.
We've been 4-for-4 for the road team.
I know. I'm going to have to go Seattle. And I look at Clint Dempsey, and I look at this opportunity for him, and I don't think he'll let it go. And I just – Chad Marshall's nonplussed. Roman Torres is all jacked up, and, you know, he might go out and run somebody over, but he'll probably get a yellow card for it because it's MLS Cup, and it'll be all good. And Christian Roldan's got an opportunity to really show us that the Ozzie Alonso era is fully over.
Why does Ben Bear hate Christian Roldan
I don't get
so
it.
Much?
I don't get it.
Ben is just such a hater.
Let the hate flow through you, Ben. Let it flow through you. Meantime, hang out here. We're going to go to break. On the other side, the mailbag, 401-206-0MLS. Put that in your phone. That's what you'll be texting and calling after the game with your reactions.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. We thank them for a year of support. It has been an awesome one in MLS, and it culminates on Saturday. MLS Cup, 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, Unimas in the United States, up in Canada in our hat. I'm just kidding, Canadians. We love you. Toronto's awesome. TVA Sports and TSN. The TSN pregame starts at 3:30. MLS Cup Central pregame with Dax, Ike, myself, Matt Doyle starts at 3. And, of course, 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday is the third iteration of that show. Should be a blast. Come hang out with us. We're into the mailbag. You can hit us up via text or call after the game, 401-206-0MLS. We have a special guest here. I was not expecting Dan Dickinson to stop by. You know him from Reddit. You know him from Seeing Red. You know him from quitting soccer.
So I was very good at that.
Yes. You were very good. Past
well,
tense.
Everybody tells me that I'm not actually retired.
How has watching MLS as a civilian been treating you this year?
It's been weird because, I occasionally miss going to the games and seeing media friends and things like that. But on the other hand, it's
media
nice to get
people.
To stake. I know it's nice to get to take a step back and actually watch the games for being games.
Yeah,
it's
that's
crazy.
Nice. It's going to be a good one. I'm with Sam Stachkol. I think this final is not going to be the 0-0. That's like the hopeful, positive, sleep deprived me. But I'm confident.
Let me put you on the spot here, Dan. Because
sure.
For people who don't know, Dan was Gothamist's RIP. They're kind of cocktail reporter for a while. So do you have a special cocktail to recommend for our friends?
An MLS Cup cocktail?
An MLS Cup cocktail. Given that the game's in Toronto for the second straight year, and
you throw maple syrup in this thing?
No, you don't throw maple syrup. It's actually called a Toronto cocktail. It's a offshoot of the Manhattan. I believe it is rye and Fernet Branca more than anything else. There's probably a couple other ingredients in there.
I've had Fernet one time, and it was terrible.
If you have it straight, it is like drinking straight medicine, and it tends to it does settle your stomach, but it feels awful when you take it originally. But mixed with some rye and some bitters, it's delightful.
So that's kind of like Extra Time Radio. It's a little bit rough going down, but at the end you're like, you know what? That actually felt good. It feels nice. Let's go into your comments, questions, hot takes. Toronto Duck, off-season prediction, guys. ETR updates the quotes in the intro. Yeah, we'll get that done for you, Toronto Duck. We're working on it, man. Bearded Jack from New Jersey. Sorry to pull the conversation away from MLS Cup, but does anyone think the expansion committee might last minute change their mind and accept 3 bids instead of 2? Short story, no. It just seems unfair to exclude one of Cincinnati, Sacramento, or Nashville when all 3 have checked so many boxes. Not saying that all 3 of those bids are equal, but I think they're all solid. Sorry, Detroit. Look, I mean, it is a credit to the cities that are in this final round. There's a lot to like from all 4. I'm not going to be disappointed in any way by any decisions here. I know it's not up to me. I saw the Sacramento guys in the elevator the other day. They were all wearing red. They were all jacked up to be here. Of course, the other ones presenting as well to MLS ownership. We've got two good things coming to the league, and that's a great thing. And NYFC next year. So it just continues. And Miami,
hopefully.
I don't know.
You're willing to put a timeline on that? I mean, my default response to this for as long as expansion has been happening is that I assume that all the good bids will get in. I don't think MLS is going to turn down in the long term, I don't think they're going to turn down markets that have proved they can support soccer and have ownership that is committed and, all the other bells and whistles. I don't think they're stopping at 28.
Let's go to Peter Cooper in Seattle, Washington. He listened to a Monday show. He heard that discussion about neutrals, who they're rooting for in MLS Cup, and it made him wonder, which team in MLS do you guys think is the most popular with neutrals? Or put another way, which team is the most common second favorite in MLS? Dan, I'm throwing this one to you. I feel like this is right in your wheelhouse.
as the pure neutral in the room at this point? Past years, at least in the last 2 years, I would have said NYCFC. Mm-hmm. Just based on the talent that you had there. You had Lampard, Villa, Pirlo. Good team. I think this year, just based on their play and how they bodied teams so much, it's got to be Atlanta.
Yeah. I think that probably is the answer this year. Everybody loves the way they built their team. They love the style they play.
That's like the mainstream answer.
Yeah.
What about the MLS nerd answer? Is there a team that, like, as you know, those of us that are sitting around on Saturday night watching MLS Live and are like, who am I going to watch? Who do I like? Who am I excited about? I'm going to throw RSL out there.
RSL was a lot of fun during the second half of the year once they got Savarino and sort of involved him with that kind of, like, death by a million paper cuts attack. The most fun teams to watch in the league this year were NYCFC, Atlanta, and the Red Bulls. And I'll throw the Crew in there at the end because they started amping it up over the last 2 months as well. Really, there would have been nobody other than other Eastern Conference teams all that disappointed in seeing Atlanta in MLS Cup.
All right, we got a voicemail here related to MLS Cup.
Hey, Kevin from Philadelphia calling in. And my question is, why isn't more being made of the analytical angle about this? These are arguably two of the clubs who have invested the most in analytics, most publicly in analytics, over the last few years. Why isn't that a key storyline? Should that be a key storyline for MLS Cup? Thanks.
That felt like maybe a plant from our good friend Devin Pluler, who is the manager of analytics at Toronto FC. We know they put a lot into that. Devin, if you're listening, we know you put that guy up to it. We know you made him call.
Well, first of all, that, and second of all, we've been breaking down the team segment by segment. You know, who has the advantage head to head in goalkeeper and defense and midfield and forwards. And I think analytics department, I mean, clear advantage for Seattle, right?
I mean, they do have a very, very good department. Ravi, what's up, my guy?
Yeah, Ravi. And Ravi, I believe, won Devin's calculator last year.
He did.
Head to head bet.
Both these teams investing. Both these teams investing. We'll see if that makes the difference. Come Saturday, MLS Cup, 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, Unimas, TSN, TVA Sports. Some predictions here. John from D.C., hot take. MLS final goes like this. Deuce gets a deuce. Jordan, I wish he would have said drops a deuce, but that's the child in me.
Oh, my God.
Jordan Morris, super subs off the bench for a third. Stefan Fry keeps the shutout streak alive. Final score, TFC 0, 3-2 Seattle Sounders. PKs not needed. That is very, very hot from John in D.C. Ed from Hartford, I guarantee Ben is wrong. Toronto will win, but it'll come down to a controversial video review giving TFC a penalty and stoppage time. Boom. Hot take. What do you think?
The second of those seems more likely than the first. I mean, Toronto haven't been playing great, but I don't see them losing 3-0 at home, no matter how hot Deuce gets.
I'd take three goals in any form.
Yeah.
I don't care who scores them. I don't care if it's honestly, after last year's 0-0 and Bobby Warshaw and I just – like dying in the stands. Bobby, I don't think Bobby had like a real jacket.
He might be frozen there still. Like
he's been in Australia for months. He doesn't know what the cold is like. He has no idea. What do you think? Give me a prediction, Dan. We gave ours. We both went Seattle because we're just talking ourselves into it.
Everybody going Seattle. I'm actually going to go with Toronto because I think after last year, they've got it in them to turn it around, to get a goal from up and play. I'm worried about Josie playing injured because I think it's, you know, if the ankle's too far gone, it's wasteful. It forces a sub early. You don't need that out of your striker. But, when I've been looking at the stats and watching through the year, it's Victor Vasquez for me because the number of, game-winning goals, game-winning assists, all that stuff,
He's the third Heat.
He is the third Heat.
Yeah.
Oh man, Jack Donaghy.
As we close out here, just a reminder: two parts rye, one part Fernet, and a dash of bitters.
Something like that. We'll post the recipe to Twitter.
Yeah, put it on Twitter. Make sure you watch the game. MLS Cup Central on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Dax McCarty, Ike Opara, Matt Doyle, and myself. We're breaking it all down. And then 3 p.m. Eastern is the pregame. Then at 4, we watch the game. That's what's up. How are we going to experience this thing? I mean, I don't know. We're going to sit here, and I'm going to be not at the stadium, and it's like I feel like I'm going to be missing something.
I mean, you've been to a bunch of MLS Cups. You know what it's like. You know at least you won't, you know, have to wear a parka and like four layers of socks in this one. Let them have their fun in Toronto. If it's someplace cool next year, we'll go.
What do you think a Toronto parade looks like? We got like 20 seconds here.
They don't know because the Maple Leafs haven't won since 1963.
So you're going back to like the early 90s, Joe Carter.
That's right. Bridges. Did they even have a parade for those?
I don't. If they didn't, that is criminal. We'll see what happens. Tune into the game. Make sure you tune in here as well. We'll break it down right after. Subscribe. Have fun. Watch it. We'll see you then, everybody.